Great one. Thought you said that you were going to keep it down to only two episodes about the book Disrupted by Dan Lyons. Yeah, well, I lied. You know, I wonder if HubSpot is related in any way to Weyland Yutani. Only the sci-fi nerds got that one. Oh, you can scream, shout, whine, cry, snivel, piss, moan. Look for a safe space. They might have one at HubSpot. You can shove your opinions up your ass, regardless of what the HubSpot fucking code of culture says. Don't forget the ever-present, the most likely, the third possibility. You are wrong, and I am right. The Cynical Libertarian Society Code of Culture. Maybe I should write that. Maybe dig 128 slides. Could take me 1,000 days to write it, or whatever fucking this moron says it took him. You know what saddens me? It saddens me that the millennials are gonna outlive me, because I would love to see the millennials in their old age, where they come face to face with the consequences of, you know, getting fired on a regular basis and investing all of their hopes and their dreams in the government and in the corporation and all this other stuff. When we reach this point where they're old and they have nothing, and where Social Security has actually finally collapsed, but none of them have retirement plans because they've never worked for any company for more than a year and a half. They don't have friends. They don't have family. Great one. Do you really love seeing other people being miserable that much? Yeah, I do. I really fucking do. Your misery. Yeah, I feel it coursing through me like the dark side of the Force, coursing through Darth Vader. Your hatred, your misery feeds the dark side. The cynical libertarian side, the anarchist side. Oh, God, natural selection. All right. This really is going to be the final podcast about the book Disrupted, My Misadventure in the Startup Bubble by Dan Lyons. Really is. Going to wrap this up. I want to finish reading this one part, and there's some other sections I want to jump through and read and comment up on. All right. HubSpotters talk about, quote, inspiring people, quote, being remarkable, quote, conquering fear, and being, quote, rock stars, and, quote, superstars with superpowers, whose whole mission is to, quote, inspire people, and, quote, be leaders. They talk about engaging in delightation, which is a made-up word invented by Dharmesh that means delighting our customers. They say all of these things without a hint of irony. This is really how people talk every day. They use these exact words all the time. The ideal HubSpotter is someone who exhibits a quality known as GSD, which stands for Get Shit Done. This is used as an adjective, as in, Courtney is always in super GSD mode. And people who lead customer training seminars are called inbound marketing professors and belong to the faculty at HubSpot Academy. Our software is magical, such that when people use it, wait for it, One that's written, that's not me, that's written in the book. Wait for it. This guy's writing style is actually really good. Again, this is a great book to read. Not just the content. His writing style is very, very good. Our software is... He's kind of a cynical bastard. And you know, even though I know he's a left-wing statist, oh my God, I would love to sit down and have some drinks with Dan Lyons. I think that would be a fucking riot. Absolute fucking riot. Because I can just tell he's like a cynical, just fucking reality-based bastard, cynical motherfucker just like me. If anybody out there knows Dan Lyons, tell him the Great One has read his book and the Great One is a fucking fan. And if he ever comes to Colorado, northeast corner of it, I will buy him a fucking dinner and a drink and a couple of drinks. Our software is magical, such that when people use it, wait for it, 1 + 1 = 3. Halligan and Shaw first introduced this alchemical concept at HubSpot's annual customer conference, with a huge slide behind them that said, quote, 1 + 1 = 3, unquote. Since then, it has become an actual slogan at the company. People use the concept of 1 + 1 = 3 as a prism through which to evaluate new ideas. One day, Spinner, the woman who runs PR, tells me, quote, I like that idea, but I'm not sure that it's 1 + 1 = 3 enough, unquote. It leaves me speechless. Once again, the ridicule that I and almost everyone I've ever worked with at every job I've ever had in my life, if someone in management showed up and said 1 + 1 = 3, the ridicule that would be heaped upon these people. These are millennials. They believe it. They just don't believe anything. They don't have a purpose in life. They don't have any friends. Oh my God, I've got, I work for, I'm so HubSpotty. 1 + 1 = 3. That is HubSpotty. What does any of this nutty horse shit actually mean? I have no idea. I'm just amazed that hundreds of people can gobble up this malarkey and repeat it with straight faces. I'm equally amazed by the high regard in which HubSpot people hold themselves. They use the word awesome incessantly, usually to describe themselves or each other. That's awesome. You're awesome. No, you're awesome for saying that I'm awesome. They pepper their communication with exclamation points. Often in clusters like this, exclamation mark, exclamation mark, exclamation mark. They are constantly sending around emails praising someone who is, quote, totally crushing it and doing something, quote, awesome and being a total team player, exclamation mark, exclamation mark, exclamation mark. These emails are CC'd to everyone in the department. The protocol seems to be for every recipient to issue his or her own reply to all email, joining in the cheer, writing things like, quote, you go girl, exclamation mark, exclamation mark, and go HubSpot go, exclamation mark, exclamation mark, exclamation mark, exclamation mark, and Ashley for president, exclamation mark, exclamation mark, exclamation mark. Every day my inbox fills up with these little orgasmic spasms of praise. At first I ignore them, but then I feel like a grump and decide I should join in the fun. I start writing things like, Jan is the best, ! Her can-do attitude and big smile cheer me up every morning! ! 7. Jan is the grumpy woman who runs the blog. She scowls a lot. Sometimes I just write something with lots of exclamation marks, like woohoo! ! 7. Congratulations! ! 7. You totally rock! ! 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Eventually, someone suspects that I am taking the piss, and I am told to cut that shit out. The cheerleading and delusions of grandeur are staggering. At one point, HubSpot posts a job listing on LinkedIn searching for new PR flack. But because this is HubSpot, the advertisement says we are looking for a, quote, media relations superstar, unquote. The implication is that the person conducting the job search, our head of public relations, is herself a superstar and thus needs someone who can keep up with her. What she is actually looking for is an entry-level person, probably someone right out of college with a couple of years' experience, who will work for low pay, believing that time spent at HubSpot will look good on a resume. The advertisement challenges potential candidates. Quote, think you can get HubSpot on the cover of Time magazine or featured on 60 Minutes? Unquote. Take it from someone who's worked at Time's primary competitor. The only way a company like HubSpot will ever merit that kind of coverage is that if an employee brings in a bag of guns and shoots the place up. The question is nuts, and any experienced PR person, any actual media relations superstar, would know that. The only person who could answer yes to that question and apply for the job is, by definition, someone with very little experience, like the person who posted the advertisement. All right, let me flip around. I got some pages marked. Let me flip around and see what I'm supposed to be reading here. Once again, and depending on how time goes, I will prove this to you. You can pretty much just open this book up to any random page and start reading and just have orgasms of delight as you encounter the incompetence of the millennials trying to run a company. Okay. Bum 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 bum. All right. Bum bum bum. Our churn rate is too high, meaning too many customers fail to renew. Our close rate is too low, meaning we generate a lot of leads but don't turn enough of them into customers. Zendesk, a software company on the West Coast that HubSpot's executives recently visited, has a close rate that is far better than ours. Morale in HubSpot's sales department has plummeted. We're going to make some hard calls, Halligan says. There are going to be winners and losers. People will just have to deal. We're going to make things as fair as we can, but if you're not performing, we're going to put you on a plan, unquote. Remember, because 1 + 1 = 3, and team is greater than the individual. Being put on a plan is the first step towards getting fired. I think he means graduating. Come on, Dan, it's called graduating, not getting fired. You're not utilizing proper hub speak. Being put on a plan is the first step towards getting fired. Most people who get put on a plan don't recover. It's really a way to give you a few weeks to find another job. Maybe that's what happened to my friend who sent out the mass. Well, I should say friend. Maybe that's what happened to the girl I wanted to bang 3 years ago who sent out the mass email begging for a fucking cyber begging for a job. Maybe she got put on a plan. She'd come over to my place, I'll bang her as long as she's got plan B. It seems to me that the problem is not that HubSpot's salespeople aren't working hard enough. The problem is that A, HubSpot's software isn't that good, and that B, the way we sell it is inefficient. Despite all its rhetoric about reinventing how products are sold, HubSpot itself relies on an old-fashioned business model based on brute force lead generation tactics. We're working too hard and getting too little back for it. Generating tens of thousands of new leads every month is ridiculous in and of itself. By definition, most of these leads are shitty and worthless. And I can vouch for that. Like I said, I go to their website, I download the free fucking ebook, and I'd give them a fake name, a fake phone number, and a fake email address. And somewhere back at HubSpot, there was some fucking frat bro dude boy getting given that phone number and dialing it up and trying to sell something. The sales department tries to winnow out the best 20% and focus on those, but that still means the sales department is trying to chase 10,000 leads every month. Boiling the ocean is the business cliche for the way HubSpot hunts for new customers. And it's only one problem. Another is that our software isn't very intuitive, and people can't figure out how to use the programs on their own. So we have to assign consultants to teach new customers how to use the product. Once again, guys, if your software, if the people using your software can't figure out how to use your software, and so you have to assign people to them to teach them how to use the software, once again, the concept of the company is to make a profit. If your software is so unintuitive that you have to teach people how to use the software, you've done a pretty fucking shitty job. Hang on a second, I gotta do something here. Just cool your jets. All right. I'm compiling software, if you need to know, and had to type in some fucking commands. This is all incredibly labor-intensive, and the effort is reflected in the amount we spend to acquire each new customer. The metric is called customer acquisition cost, or CAC, and HubSpot's is soaring. The numbers are going in the wrong direction. The irony of this is that we tout our software as a modern miracle that lets companies attract new customers and grow faster while spending less. Our sales pitch is basically Jack and the Beanstalk. Buy our magic software and your business grows to the sky. You'll get more customers and save money. That's what we tell people. But we use our software. Our business is built on top of our software. We, quote, eat our own dog food, unquote, as they say in the tech industry. If our software really does what we claim, why are we working so hard to find new customers? Why do we need an army of sales reps and an army of marketers and an army of consultants? For that matter, why, after 7 years in business, does HubSpot still not make a profit? Why does it cost us more to make, sell, and deliver our software than customers will pay to use it? Well, but we all have to make money. Money is evil. Profit is evil. Oh, this is classic. Okay, blah, blah, blah. So it's Halloween. It's the We Dare to Be Different photo that I'll put. I put the screenshot up in the previous edition of Stating the Obvious with all the fucking white people and the girl in the black dress that I would probably bang if I had the chance, maybe. Anyhow, blah, blah, blah. So we're talking about Halloween. Oh, wait, what's this? Oh, I should do this. So he's bringing, as it happens, on the day of the Halloween party, I have a friend in town. Rose is a friend of mine who works in marketing. She lives in New York and has come to Boston for meetings. She's in her 40s and is executive vice president for marketing for a big sports brand. We have breakfast in a hotel near the Charles River. Seeing Rose makes me remember my old life, where I wore a suit, moderated panels in Washington, D.C., and participated in actual journalism. I tell her what's happened to me at HubSpot, how I was promised one job but given another. Rose doesn't seem surprised or sympathetic. Rose is British. She has no patience for complainers. All right, so then it's blah, blah, blah. She said, you want to come see... You want to come by HubSpot? It's Halloween day. You want to come in and see? She says, sure. So they get there, and there's all these people running around in costumes. Blah, blah, blah. They're all trying really hard to show everyone how much fun they are having at this totally rad company with these really cool people. But it's not cool. It's sad and weird. Rose says, quote, I must say, I don't think I've ever heard of a company where people come to work in costumes on Halloween, unquote. She does not seem to mean this in a good way. Well, I say, we dare to be different. I bring her to the content factory, the room where the blog team works and where I used to work before I was banished. Oh, so to digress a second. They decided they don't like him, right? The little 23-year-old girls who write the blog, and he was supposed to be writing the blog with them, they don't like him. They fucking kicked him out of the room where the blog writing happens, and they gave him a desk in the corner in the room where all the dude bro frat boys, and I'm not making it up, dude bro frat boys, with free beer, are making all the phone calls trying to sell the software. He is in the telemarketing room, in a room with fucking dude bro frat boys drinking beer, making phone calls, cold calling clients. Now you say, great one. You're saying HubSpot has drunk people cold calling in an attempt to get clients? Well, unless you're calling Dan Lyons a liar, yes. Their cold calling is done by drunk college boys. Company's never made a profit. I can't figure out why. God damn it. Sorry, not you. It's the compiling software. Lennox, I love you, but sometimes you only make me want to bitch slap you. Okay, let's get back. Dude bro, yeah. So he got banished. His desk is now in the room where the dude bro frat boys make phone calls, cold calling people while they're drunk. Okay. I bring her to the content factory, the room where the blog team works and where I used to work before I was banished. I introduce her around. Three women have come to work dressed as the Mean Girls in the movie Mean Girls. The HubSpot Mean Girls seem not to realize that in the movie, the Mean Girls are the butt of the joke. Our Mean Girls seem to believe the Mean Girls were the heroes. Quote, we even made a burn book, Fantoma tells me. Look, you're in it. Sure enough, they really have printed out an actual burn book, which in the movie is a book where the Mean Girls make fun of people they don't like or consider to be losers. Fantoma flips to my page. You see, she says, indeed, there I am. They have created a page about me, with a photo of me looking old and stupid. There are words, too, but I don't read them. Now, can you imagine if old white men at work made a book where they ridiculed 23-year-old white girls? Can you imagine the lawsuits and the fucking sexual harassment and the fucking diversity faggots and fucking lawyers that would descend upon that? But when a 23-year-old millennial cunt puts together material making fun of a man for being old, see, that's HubSpotty. That's 1 + 1 = 3. I walk Rose outside and put her in a cab to the airport. Quote, "You have to get out of here. This place will destroy your soul," she says to me. I know. I figure I'll put in a year and then I'll know, she cuts me off. Right away, right now, today, get out. She closes the door. Her cab zooms off. She never becomes a HubSpot customer. Let's see. All right. Nope. Change. Oh, this is classic. All right. Hold on. I got to stretch before this one. I still got to lift weights today, too. Fuck. Shit. I'd love to put it off, but I dare not put it off. One day in the Content Factory, I have a kind of Norma Rae moment where I try to raise awareness among my fellow workers. Specifically, we're talking about the candy wall. People are saying how amazing it is to have so much candy available. I'm hoping to persuade them that the candy wall is a bit of a con. So at HubSpot, apparently there's a wall that's covered in candy, and you just go in there and you eat all the candy you want. Okay, so it's free candy. Again, companies never made a profit. But you can eat all the free, because it's free. Right? It's like college. It's like Bernie Sanders. It's free college. It's like Obamacare. It's free medical care. It's just free. I suppose when you think that 1 + 1 = 3, you'll fucking believe anything. Hold on, 1 + 1 = 3. Maybe that's going to be the title of this episode. You know, I say, you guys are the first generation that's willing to work for free candy. My generation would never have fallen for that. We wanted to get paid in actual money, unquote. I'll admit, this might not be the best way to open up this dialogue. We get paid, one says, sounding defensive. I know, I say. I'm just trying to make a point about why companies do these things. The response is, it's because they want to create a cool culture. They want people to be happy. I have no idea how much these people are paid, but most of them are right out of college, and I suspect Cranium has gulled them into taking small salaries in exchange for the great experience they will get at HubSpot, as well as all the fun stuff like the parties and the outings and the free beer and the candy. We're not getting paid in candy, another one says. No, I know that. The others join in. They love the candy. They eat candy every day. Now I'm backpedaling, trying to explain that what I really mean to say is that a big wall of candy dispensers is not an incentive for people like me. If it were up to me, if I had a choice, I would not have a candy wall, and I would just get paid a little bit more money instead. You see what I mean? Well, they don't. Because I have kids, right? I can't bring home a huge bag of candy every day and feed candy to my kids for dinner. I can't sell candy and use the money to buy food and clothing for my kids. That's what I'm saying. They look at me like, crazy old man alert. Why is he angry about the candy? Don't make any sudden moves that might scare him. Back away slowly and call for help. The woman who really loves the candy. I wonder how fat and alone these women are going to be in 10 years. The woman who really loves the candy says she doesn't think the company actually spends that much on candy. What's more, even if the company took the candy away, that doesn't mean they would pay us more money. I know, I say. But that's what you said, she stares at me triumphantly. I'm not quite sure where to go with this. Did Norma Ray run up against this kind of thinking in her textile factory? Were there 20-something people there who loved the coffee in the coffee machine and didn't want to form a union? You know, you're right, I say. I'm sorry I brought it up. The candy is great. If I were Halligan or Dharmesh or Cranium, I would do exactly what they've done. I would hire hundreds of people just like this, give them all the candy and beer they can stomach, and keep telling them what important, meaningful work they're doing. And there's a lesson for those of you out there who own your own business. Hire millennials. Pay them fucking dirt cheap. Pay them minimum wage. And then just give them free beer and free candy. This book, I've got to tell you, this book holds lessons for everyone. Let's see, what happened here? Again and again, I've seen, once again, remember now the guy, Dan Lyons, he's accused of being a misogynist over on Amazon.com by all the puppet accounts by the HubSpotters. He's a misogynist. Again and again, I see smart, experienced, accomplished women in their mid-30s at HubSpot, these are the old people, get fired with little or no warning by their 20-something managers. In each case, the woman getting axed is stunned by the news, devastated, reduced to tears. Isabel, 34, has put in 3.5 years at HubSpot, has a 1-year-old baby at home, and has just returned from a month-long medical leave when her 20-something boss tells her that she's not meeting expectations and she's done. Denise, 35, has been with HubSpot for 4.5 years, but is told one day by Jordan, age 28, that her job no longer exists, even though her department is actively hiring. Denise is allowed to put in 2 more weeks. During that time, Cranium ignores her. He never pulls her aside to thank her for her service or to say he's sorry about how things have worked out. He walks right past her desk. He can see her. She's sitting right there, and he says nothing. He acts like nothing is happening. Meanwhile, Denise can barely hold it together. She cries in the car. She has panic attacks about going to work. She feels humiliated. She has no idea what she did wrong or why she's being let go. It's important, too, to remember, when you're hearing about this book, when you seek out reviews about this book, look at the people who are fucking attacking this guy and defending HubSpot. And think about what sort of shit and garbage you would be to defend this company. I mean, I am a capitalist pig, okay? But even as a capitalist pig, if you're going to have a company, my opinion is you treat your employees good, right? You create, I mean, God, I hate to use fucking buzz phrases, but your employees, the longer you can keep them, the more value they can create for you because they have experience and connections and knowledge. You want your employees to stick with you because you want them. God, I'm trying to say, how do you say it without using fucking terrible sounding fucking HR buzz phrases like relationships and synergy. But the longer your employees are there, the more they know about the business, the more they can operate unsupervised, the more responsibility they can take, the more they can come up with new ideas, the better things can be. You bring in some new people now and then, new ideas, but this fucking just churning through people which HubSpot does. Think about what kind of garbage you have to... Then again, this is the world you people want. This is the world you've created. You love this shit. Page 35 gets tossed on a Monday morning, a few weeks shy of her one-year anniversary when her first batch of options would vest. Ironically, Zach fires her during Fearless Friday, our feminist empowerment team-building exercise. While a group of women just out of college are downstairs in a conference room making paintings on the floor, Paige, a former Wall Street analyst, is up on the second floor being sacked for an alleged lack of productivity. Zach tells her to clean out her desk and leave. She's done, right now. She gets no severance pay. She walks out, fighting back tears, and texts me from her car in the parking garage. "You won't believe this. I just got fired." When I call her, she's crying. A colleague in the marketing department tells me that back in 2011, before my time, another 30-something woman was fired after only 4 months on the job. She was pregnant with twins. Quote, "The company can do whatever it wants," unquote, one manager tells me, and my jaw drops. Where are the fucking feminists showing up because these women are getting fired without any kind of rationale for why they're being fired? You know, where? Where are the feminists? Where's the fucking equal opportunity diversity office? Where's the fucking quota masters from the government? Trying to flip the pages. It's challenging. Oh my, okay. So at one point, I'll just tell this one from memory. Dan gets a new boss named who he codenames Trotsky. And Trotsky comes in, and Trotsky's all buddy-buddy with Dan, and he's all, yeah. And then he starts backstabbing Dan, and then he's buddy-buddy with him, and then Trotsky is the one who stole Dan's idea about the fucking alternate blog with the high-end writing, and then he backstabs him some more, and then they're buddy-buddy, and then Trotsky is the guy who fucking backstabs him more because Dan unfriended him on Facebook, and then Trotsky is the guy who's like, "Oh yeah, we're going to make you the secretary on the podcast," and then Trotsky is sending him emails like, "Are you sure you really want to work here?" It's like, what the fuck? And then Trotsky is buddy-buddy with him again, and then Trotsky gives him this shitty employee evaluation and tells him how much he sucks and nobody likes him. Oh, and then Trotsky does this thing where, okay, for those of you young, you're going into the workplace, you're going to be told by your supervisor that you did something and you pissed off this person over here. Like, yeah, you did such and such and Alice is really mad at you. When you get told that, you need to immediately go to Alice and ask her if she's really mad at you. Because I have been on the receiving end of this. I have had supervisors tell me that somebody else was mad at me. And I go to them and I say, "I heard you were mad at me." And they look at you and go, "The fuck are you talking about?" I said, "Well, you know, Billy Bob said that you were pissed off because I sent that email over to George." And Alice is like, I couldn't give a fuck less. Why are you bothering me? And Trotsky does this to Dan. Your supervisor will make these things up to manipulate you, to drive a wedge between you and your coworkers. I'm not joking, guys. I have seen it. I have been on the receiving fucking end. Your supervisor will do this to you. Then Trotsky tells Dan outright, he says, "You know, nobody here really likes you. And I've talked to some people who worked with you at other jobs, and none of them like you either. Nobody actually really likes you. They're just saying that." And Dan actually lets this shit get to him. It's kind of sad. You read some of this book, and that's the shit he puts up with, and the shit that bothers him. I mean, there's a couple of points where I'm just thinking, dude, you should have just like stood up, spit in this guy's face, and walked out. And you stood there and you fucking bent over like a little fucking bitch and you took it. It's probably the fucking left-wing statist, feminist agenda fucking journalism degree that he has. So anyway, Trotsky gives him this shitty... So Trotsky asks him, are you sure you really want to work here? Then Trotsky makes him the secretary on the podcast. Then Trotsky gives him this fucking shitty job evaluation. And Trotsky tells him that nobody he works with likes him. Then when Dan finally quits, Trotsky's like, well, why are you quitting? Everything was going so well. And then after Dan quits, Trotsky keeps like emailing him saying, hey, I'd really like to get together with you and have a drink and let's be friends. I mean, the guy is a complete fucking sociopath nut. And once again, for those of you who are young, you've never worked for a corporation or even a medium-sized company, and you think maybe having a job is like on TV, you need to read this book, because this is what you're going to walk into, guys. This is why you don't, you want to fucking start your own business. You want it to be a business where you're the only person who works there. It's like me with my website work. One person who works at that company, me. And I can fire clients anytime they turn out to be stupid. And I've done it. Trying to decide what it was. Oh! All right. Oh, man. Here we go. Let's see. So Trotsky, who we're talking about, this is when he first shows up at the company. Trotsky is a wildcatter. Hire him and he'll work in your oil field and see if he can strike it rich. If he doesn't, he'll move on. Silicon Valley is filled with people like this who spend their careers jumping from one tiny dysfunctional to another, chasing a pot of gold. Quote, I was stunned when I was doing recruitment in the Valley, a former software engineer executive recalls. Everyone is a mercenary. Every resume you'd look at had all these stints of a year here and a year there. Like if they didn't hit the jackpot, they'd go somewhere and place a new bet. I think of this as a kind of mental disorder, startup disease. I know the symptoms because I am suffering from them myself. But Trotsky has an even more severe case, and he's been afflicted for a lot longer. Trotsky says the clock is ticking down on him and his career. He's already too old to be working in tech. The guy's in his 40s. If he doesn't strike it rich at HubSpot, he'll get one more chance, maybe two. By then, he will be 50 and no one will hire him. He tells me his first impression of HubSpot is that it reminds him of Logan's Run, the dystopian sci-fi movie where people are killed when they reach the age of 30 in order to prevent population, or in order to prevent overpopulation. Even Trotsky has never worked in a place that is so exaggeratedly young. He tells me how Penny, the receptionist, who is 23 but looks 17, told him when she first met him, quote, I think it's cool that they're starting to hire some older people now, unquote. Okay, once again, where's the discrimination, people? Can you imagine? Oh, hey, honey, I'm glad they're starting to hire some young girls. Oh, hey, look, it sure is nice they're starting to hire some fat people. Oh, it sure is nice we're starting to hire some darkies. Oh, look, we hired some wetbacks. It's so nice we're starting to hire some wetbacks. The lawyers would descend upon you. But no, when you fucking say, it's so nice we're hiring old people. And you millennials wonder why old people don't give a shit, why we hate you, why we despise you. I say we like I'm old. Trotsky was startled by both the sentiment and her lack of tact. Bemused, he asked Penny what age she considers old. Where is the cutoff between young people and old people? Quote, I guess about 30, unquote, she said. Where's the cutoff between fat people and skinny people? How far do I need to go back here? Blah, blah, blah. Talk, talk, talk. This is pure here. Blah, blah, blah. I figure there's no way to salvage the situation. Just trust me, the situation is funny. If I'm going to go out, I should at least do it in style. Some of my HubSpot colleagues seem genuinely baffled. All right, should I fucking... Oh, okay, 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 okay. No, I do have to back up. I got to tell you the story. So there, where the fuck is it? Okay. Halligan tells the Times that HubSpot is trying to build a, quote, build a culture specifically to attract and retain Gen Yers, unquote. Yikes. I understand what he's trying to say, but he is getting a bit too close to saying that he would rather hire young people than old people, which is something you definitely don't want to say in public, even if it's true. So then they expect, because again, when you work at HubSpot, you have to be HubSpotty. You're expected to use your personal social media to send out company propaganda. So they're pressuring Dan to share this article in which Halligan talks about he wants to attract Gen Yers on his personal Facebook feed. So blah, 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 and he's agonizing over it again. Just say no. Once again, this is the pussy fact. Someone comes, you have to put this on your fucking personal Facebook. I would just, dude, here's my ball sack. No, I'm not putting fucking work-related shit on my personal social media. Just fucking lick my hairy nuts. Instead, I say to hell with it and post the comment. I include a link to the Times story beneath the comment, and here's his comment on Facebook. Quote, in the tech world, gray hair and experience are really overrated, says the CEO of the company where I fucking work. Quote, we're trying to build a culture specifically to attract and retain Gen Yers, unquote. I feel so special. Needless to say, that fucking blew up. Because again, the company he works for monitors what the fuck he puts on his personal Facebook. Because 1 + 1 = 3, the team is greater than the individual, and that's all HubSpotty and shit. God, there's so much more I'm not going to get to. Guys, listen to me. You have to read this book. Okay? I know I've told you that before. Okay? You have to read this book. Clary, that includes you. I know, you get the fucking audio book. I don't want to hear any whining about how you don't like to read. I know that. You all have to read this book. Okay. Some of my HubSpot colleagues seem genuinely baffled by my complaint. One of them, white, male, in his 20s, sends me an email asking me why I'm so angry. I tell him that in retrospect, I am not so much angry as I am disappointed and even amused. Halligan has made a classic Kinsley gaffe, named after the journalist Michael Kinsley, who defined gaffes as those moments when a politician slips up and reveals what they truly believe. Quote, a gaffe is when a politician tells the truth, unquote. Halligan really believes that the best way to build a tech company is to hire hundreds of young, inexperienced people, give them lots of free beer and parties, and turn them loose. He's entitled to his opinion. He may even be right. That doesn't make it smart for him to say it in public. I ask my young white male colleague to imagine that instead of saying older people, gray hair and experience, are overrated, Halligan had said that gay people are overrated, or women, or African Americans, or Jews. Imagine Halligan saying, quote, we're trying to build a culture specifically to attract and retain white people. Because when it comes to technology, white people do a much better job than black people, unquote. But he didn't say that, my colleague responds. He didn't say anything about gays or women or black people. Unquote. As the Bible says, Jesus wept. This is why you can't argue with the stupid. And again, this is the thing that you'll also find the humor in this as Dan goes through this experience and he attempts to argue with, and remember, Dan Lyons, he's left-wing statist, social justice warrior, Democrat, voting, journalism degree. He's not among the most intelligent people on the planet Earth. And the people he's arguing with are magnitudes dumber than he is. And you just sit there, it's like, why are you engaging in the futility of trying to have a conversation with someone who can't form words and sentences? They have English degrees. They think 1 + 1 = 3. They're HubSpotty. It's just terrifying. Oh, and then they call him Grandpa Buzz. They come up with a nickname for him, Grandpa Buzz. Once again, where's the discrimination, people? So you can call the old guy Grandpa. Can I call the overweight woman Fatty? Can I call the black person Boy? No, of course not. But hey, it's old people. Fuck it. We can ridicule and attack them. It's totally fucking okay. All right, so that's on and on. Run this over here. Oh my God. And then he posted it. Once again, he posted a joke on Facebook. What was the joke? Oh, it would take too long to explain. He posted a joke on Facebook. And again, he gets phone calls from the fucking people who own the company, and he's got to defend himself and shit like this. Well, you've dug yourself into a hole. I'm not sure you'll be able to climb back out. It's like, Jesus Christ, what, your fucking company is fucking Facebook stalking you. This is some terrifying shit, man. Read this book, Disrupted, My Misadventure in the Startup Bubble by Dan Lyons. You need to read this book. It is amazing. Dan Lyons for president. He is so HubSpotty. Let me tell you something, man. This book, after you read this book, you will truly believe that 1 + 1 = 3. That's how fucking HubSpotty it is.